Greetings, and welcome to the Traxión fourth quarter and full year 2017 results call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Avi Lishton, CEO. Thank you, Mr. Lishton. You may begin.
Thank you, Tim. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I will briefly comment about some relevant matters of the business, and then we'll hand over to Victor, our Chief Financial Officer, who will discuss financial and operating figures in detail. This is our first fuel quarter as a publicly traded company. As you might imagine, this milestone represents an enormous challenge and a great effort. Since we are the very first company in our sector, we are here today as the industry benchmark, honored by earning your confidence and excited about what is coming. We have delivered what we said. During our IPO, we present you with pro forma information, which incorporates operating companies on a partial year basis. Today, those pro forma are a reality. 2017 was a challenging year, and 2018 will be even more challenging. There are two affairs that fuel uncertainty about Mexico: the electoral landscape and all the potential implications of the United States challenging NAFTA, which generates uncertainty and causes volatility on financial markets. Both phenomena are beyond our control and that of the rest of the corporate of Mexico. We do not foresee material changes neither in our sector fundamentals nor in the macro outlook. We are in close contact with our clients, and we do not see them making structural changes or decreasing demand. What we are doing is preparing ourselves to face potential short-term volatility, being close to our clients and suppliers, and continue operating with excellence and efficiency. We are confident that Mexico will overcome those short-term challenges. Traxión has a strong balance sheet, healthy margins, a very seasoned and committed management team, and a unique business model. In our history, 2016 was a transformational year. The company transitioned from a lean strategic management to operating entities to five companies under the same structure. In 2017, we strengthened our corporate structure and invest significantly in infrastructure, process, and human capital. As a result, synergies and other efficiencies will start materializing in 2018. This enhancement has enabled us to better identify potential synergies to improve both efficiency and operating margins. We have detected such synergies between two of our subsidiaries, and we are preparing to take further action in order to achieve those efficiencies. It's important to look at Traxión as a whole. Each of the subsidiaries is 100% owned by the company. Therefore, we have the ability to allocate resources where we see the most beneficial outcome. For example, during 2017, we invest a new fleet for the personal and student transportation segment in order to meet demand efficiently, while we strengthen the structure in the cargo and logistics segment in order to support further growth. This way, we optimize cash flow management at a company level and size opportunities on the right segment at the right moment. This investment will start translating into profits in the next quarters, as we size demand and growth in both segments. Moving forward, our growth for 2018 is on track. The company has two sources of growth, organic and through strategic acquisition. Growth via acquisitions allow us to build the platform that supports future organic growth as we add more services or regions to the company. while organic growth allowed us to grow without paying further premium. Therefore, our growth sources complement each other. Speaking about organic growth, we have been placing orders for new trucks and buses. Last week, we released our fleet investment plan for 2018. This plan considers 1,342 power units, buses and trucks, and a total amount of almost 2 billion pesos. We have already invested 890 million pesos and did so in less than 100 days after completing our IPO. This means that we already invested approximately 45% of our fleet plan within more than 10 months to go in the year. Delivery started at the end of 2017 and will continue to 2018. One of the most important virtues of new units is that we put them to work immediately after they already delivered and fitted for service. New vehicles are not idling in our yard. The scale of this plan represents another milestone for the company, as we are meeting our client demand in an efficient and profitable manner. On the M&A arena, we continue to work on our pipeline and have some advanced negotiations. We expect to announce strategic acquisitions in the near future. As you know, we have very broad M&A selection criteria, and we have committed to deploy capital efficiently. We are in line with our investment plan. Shifting gears, we ended 2017 with a total fleet of 5,596 units and more than 376 million kilometers were driven by our vehicles during the year. Revenues in 2017 totaled 7,072 million pesos, an increase of 91% comparing to those of 2016. Victor will walk you through details in a moment. Finally, we just released our guidance for 2019 earlier this morning. We expect to reach an organic EBITDA of at least 1,640 million pesos, not including M&A, with an implied margin of 20%. This represents an increase of 30% in EBITDA and a healthy margin expansion of approximately 220 basis points. We had a good start for 2019, and we are confident that we will accomplish these goals. As I have already said, we are excited about the future of the sector and the company. Please be assured that we are on board and that we are doing the right things to deliver. Having said that, I will hand over the call to Victor. Victor, please.
Thank you, Ali. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining. I will start by pointing key elements reflected in our financial report. First, 2017 was the first year in which financial figures fully reflect all of our subsidiaries' results. As Abby mentioned, what in 2016 were pro forma figures became tangible results in 2017. Second, we keep focused on growing profitably. During the 2017, we deployed considerable resources into the passenger services segment, which already had the structure to realize opportunities. Then, in the last part of the year, we started investing in the cargo and logistics segment in incremental fleets, in developing the LTL business and incorporate commercial and operational areas. Third, we are enhancing our processes, structure, and human capital capabilities to match our targets. We expect these investments will start paying off with growth and synergies along 2018. Our guidance figures reflect this objective. Fourth, in 2017, we achieved a solid financial position that is allowing us to follow through on our business plan. From this point, we expect to gain a competitive advantage, to reduce our cost of capital, and to broaden our sources of financing. Now, turning to the P&L figures for the full year 2017, Consolidated revenues reached 7,072 million pesos, growing 91% as compared to 2016. This increase was mainly driven by the full integration and high growth of the personnel and student transportation segment, and by the full contribution of the two companies in the cargo logistics segment acquired in May and June 2016. On a pro forma basis, total consolidated revenue increased 15.3%. The cargo logistics segment had a 6.3% growth, and the personnel and student transportation segment had a 29.6% growth. In addition to the acquired companies and their full contribution in 2017, revenue growth was supported by income arising from our incremental investments in fleet, as well as from negotiations and direct commercial efforts with our clients to properly reflect the increase in fuel prices. I will now discuss revenues for the fourth quarter. Please keep in mind that the cargo logistics segment is fully comparable, as all the subsidiaries of the segment were included in the financial results for the fourth quarter of 2016 and 2017, while the passenger segment was included for 2 months of the same quarter of 2016 and fully in 2017. Consolidated revenues totaled 1,862 million pesos, a 25.9% growth when compared to the same period of 2016. The personnel and student transportation segment contributed with 90.6% of this increase in revenues, reflecting the full contribution in 2017. Revenues in the cargo logistics segment are fully comparable on a quarter-to-quarter basis, recording an increase of 1.6% as compared to the fourth quarter of 2016. Growth here was affected by the loss of some clients. Nevertheless, we were able to reallocate our fleet and to gain some new clients that will compensate for the aforementioned loss. Moving on to costs, it is important to highlight that the cost structure is changing after the integration of the personnel and student transportation segments, since, for example, it has a lower component of tolls, and labor costs are lower when compared to those in cargo. Total costs reflected an increase of 89.7%, which is explained by the full contribution of the companies acquired and integrated in 2016. Total costs as a percentage of revenue were virtually flat on a year-on-year basis, whereas on a quarter-on-quarter basis, there is a reduction, mainly coming from the incorporation of the personnel and student transportation sector. Cost-to-revenue ratios were 69.3% and 71.2% for the quarter and year, respectively. Fuel costs increased 23.4% in the quarter and 102.6% during the year. Both increments originated partially in the hike in fuel prices at the beginning of the year and the already mentioned incorporation of the acquired company, which carried fuel costs for the whole year. In terms of other costs, they increased 29.8% in the quarter and 80% in the year, in line with increases in total revenue. This is explained by the natural growth of the business as we expanded administrative support and facility management. Such costs include real estate leases, GPS monitoring services, telecommunication services, insurance policies, facility security maintenance, and other costs related to the integration and growth of the contracted personnel in the student transportation segment. Our expenses also increased in the quarter and in the year. In the quarter, expenses grew 80 million pesos, a 23% increase. That represents 23.1% of total revenues. Expenses for the year increased 604 million pesos, an 83.1% growth when compared to 2016, representing 19.9% of total revenue. It should be noted that at the expense level, there were non-recurring expenses during 2016. Taking them from the expenses figure, the quarter-to-quarter variation would have been approximately 40%. As we already discussed, in 2017, we finished building out a corporate structure suitable to our new scale and to our growth goals. This requires significant investments in infrastructure, processes, and human capital. In time, these new expenses will be absorbed as synergies are achieved and also as our business scales. I will move now on to EBITDA reconciliation. EBITDA for the year recorded 1,259 million pesos, while representing a 17.8% margin that compares to a pro forma EBITDA margin of 19.4% in 2016. The implicit 1.6 percentage points decrease originated in expenses. When looking to our EBITDA, bear in mind that during the fourth quarter, the company paid in excess of 300 million pesos to acquire a portion of the fleet that was financed under operating leases. This represented an annual expense of approximately 65 million pesos. Given that this expense will not be incurred in 2018, if the effect of this savings is added to the 2017 EBITDA, it would have reached 1,324 million pesos, with a margin of 18.7%. This EBITDA figure is the starting point from which the company kicked off 2018. EBITDA for the quarter totaled 287 million pesos, a decrease of 11% compared to the same period of 2016, with a margin of 15.4% that compares to 21.8% in the fourth quarter of 2016. The impact in expenses was more acute in the cargo logistics segment that shoulders most of the corporate expenses, and in addition to that, had an impact from expenses incurred in the development of the LTL business and from the allowance for doubtful accounts of year-end. These actions impacted approximately 34 million pesos in quarterly EBITDA in this segment. Consolidated net income totaled 224 million pesos and 337 million pesos on a quarterly and a yearly basis, respectively. This improvement is derived from higher EBIT, a better comprehensive financial result that included a gain from our U.S. dollar treasury position, and a positive valuation of our interest rate hedge and higher interest income from the IPO proceeds in cash, and also changes in deferred income since some subsidiaries started to show profits. Regarding CAPEX, we paid 1,260 million pesos in 2017, and as of today, we continue investing in new equipment. In addition to the investments in the passenger segment, in the fourth quarter, we started acquiring incremental power units in the cargo segment. Considering the relevant size of our capex and the risk of variations in the price of units, according to our policy, we created a U.S. dollar position that covers all the remaining capex within the 2018 budget. Finally, I would like to mention that we keep working on alternatives to reduce our cost of debt and to assure the availability of financing for our business plan. And with this, we will open the call for questions. Operator, please.
Thank you. At this time, we will be conducting the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue, and you may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Stephen Trent of Citi. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thanks very much for taking my questions. I've just got two for you. First, I appreciate your comments about, elections in Mexico this year and all of the crazy stuff going on with NAFTA. As you think about that environment, has this allowed you to either rethink your approach to some of the M&A that you'd been telegraphing over the past couple of months, regarding whether this volatility could help some of your negotiations? And the second question pertains to, I think Victor said something about you guys lost a customer. If you could just give a little color on what happened there, and thank you.
Yes. Okay. Answer for you the first question. We don't believe that the elections affect our business. The government has like 3% of our revenues of the company, and that 3% is divided in many clients, so we're not exposed to any particular political party. I mean, the business it's too small with government. And the companies that we are buying, we think they are strategical and will give us the opportunity to grow the company for the long term. So We expect to announce some acquisitions this year, and we're on track on the plan. And talking about the second question, yes, we lost a few clients, maybe two or three clients. Talking about, we have more than 900 clients, but we also changed some clients to optimize our client base and bring clients that are more profitable to the company. And we did that in the last quarter, but as we can see, the revenues were not hit by this matter.
Okay, appreciate that, and I'll let someone else ask a question. Thanks for the color.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from the line of Paula Dominguez of Santander. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning. This is Rafael Huerva. Hello, Abby and Victor. One question on your expected margin for 2018 of 20% compared to the adjusted margin that you had last year of 18.7. What are the main drivers for the margin improvement, and what are the risks that you see that could avoid you from delivering a 20% margin? Thank you.
Thank you, Rafael. So we believe that the margin will go to 20% because mainly two reasons. The first one is that we already saw synergies in SG&A by making big synergies in two of our subsidiaries on the cargo segment. And the second is we are growing organically. So we prepare the structure in the company to support this growth, and this growth will be in place in 2018. So that's why we expect to grow the margin 220 basis points.
Okay. Thank you, Abby.
To answer about the risk that I see, I mean, we were very on track in the organic growth because, as I mentioned, in these first 2 months of the year, we already accomplished 45% of the projected growth of the company. So we feel that we are very good on track in our business plan. And we already have seen clearly the synergies in these two synergies. So I'm confident about this guidance that we give to the market.
Okay, and for the remaining capex, the 1.2 billion that's left of the organic growth plan, will it be done throughout the year, or are you expecting to do most after the elections on the second semester?
No, it's going fast. I mean, we're closing new contracts every month. So, I mean, we are feeling that the demand is there. So we are growing. Because in February, and we closed new contracts and we're on track. So, I mean, usually for us, this is a very good year on growth, because it's not common to close such a big percentage of the growth on the beginning of the year. So we're optimistic about growth.
What's the average time once you place an order? How much time does it take for the buses to be delivered?
Now we're working to reduce that time, but usually it's something about 2 months.
Okay. Well, thank you, Abby and Victor, and good luck.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Rafael.
Our next question comes from the line of Javier Ariguanega of GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning, Abby and Victor. Thank you for taking my question.
I was just wondering if you could explain to us how would a 1 peso appreciation or depreciation would affect your EBITDA guidance, given it's at 19 FX. And also, if you could comment on your stock repurchase program, what will be your strategy there going forward? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Javier. First, if we get a depreciation of the peso, talking about 1 peso, because we are projecting to be around 19, so if the peso, if the dollar goes to 20, it will give us more revenue of between 60 to 70 million pesos, because we have around 15% of our revenues in dollars, and our expenses mainly are in pesos. So we get a benefit of around 60 to 70 million pesos if we have a devaluation of 1 peso per month, yes.
Okay, thank you. And regarding the stock repurchase program, Abby, your strategy there going forward, do you consider the current price of the stock an attractive entry point, or what's your strategy there?
Yeah, first we want to deploy the proceeds in the growth and I mean talking about organic and inorganic, and then also in the in our plan is to put in place our purchasing program, but after have been done some deployments of the resources in the growth.
And it will be mainly devoted to provide liquidity to stock.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Victor. Congrats.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Alejandro Chavez of Activinvest. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, just a quick question. I was reviewing the operating figures, and I was a little bit surprised that revenues per kilometer for the passenger, that means student and employee transportation, didn't rise in line with the rise in fuel costs that you reported for the trimester. I know that there's some, for the quarter, I know that there's some noise there because of the fuel tax credit. So I wanted to know if maybe for 2018 we could expect a rise in average revenue per kilometer for this segment once the contracts pass through or are renewed.
Sorry, Alejandro, this is Tonio. Your line sounds somewhat muffled. Could you please repeat the question more slowly?
Alejandro, you have removed yourself from the queue. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Lucas Barbosa of UBS. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, Abby and Victor. Thanks very much for taking my question. My question is regarding your guidance. Your numbers imply an organic growth, organic revenue growth of around 16%. I just wanted to hear from you, where will this growth come from? Is it mainly from the passenger business as what we saw in 4Q17?
Yeah, the organic growth was seen mainly in the passenger and I mean the passenger division. That will be like like 70% of the organic growth, and the rest will be, the 30% is in cargo and logistics. But just to remind you that the closest acquisitions that we have for this year are mainly in the cargo and logistics segment.
Okay, thank you very much. And just another question. If we see in your cargo business, the average revenues per kilometer increase 10% year over year, is that mainly due to fuel costs, to the fuel cost increase? Was it a pass-through of the fuel cost increase? Thanks very much.
Okay. Yeah, most of the average, the increase in the prices for the our cargo was mostly defined at the beginning of the year. And certainly the fuel price increase had an important percentage of that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Josh Milbert of Morgan Stanley. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning, Abby, Victor. Just a couple of questions for me. One is you guys mentioned that announcements on M&A is something that could be near at hand, but I was just hoping you could elaborate a little further on your progress there. Have you guys had any obstacles or any shift in your near-term pipeline? And if you guys could also just give an updated indication on how much inorganic EBITDA we could see in 18, that would be great. That's my first question.
We don't see any delays in the process. I mean, we have to be very diligent in our process to do M&A, and that's what we are doing. But we are talking about the same companies that were on target at the IPO in the same segment. So we believe we're going on a good direction. And it's important to notice that since the IPO till now, we only have like maybe 4 months. So, we believe that we're on track on that and we're gonna give good news, during this year.
Okay, so no real shift in how much inorganic EBITDA we could see this year. Thanks for that, Abby. The other data I had just was related to the doubtful account charge you recognized in the fourth quarter. I think it was a 22 million peso amount. From your release, it sounded like that was non-recurring in nature, but I just wanted to understand why you see it as such, and what was sort of behind that amount.
Certainly, yes. It was an allowance that was a bit higher than the last year. That's why we had to mention it. And it's mostly related to specific clients. Nothing has changed in the business as normal. So we don't expect that to be happening in the next quarter.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Thank you.
I would like to remind all of our participants at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Gilberto Garcia of Barclays. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning. I have a question regarding the fuel expenses. There was a fairly significant increase on a sequential basis, so I was wondering if you can if there was something extraordinary in either the third quarter or the fourth quarter of last year that caused this change. Thank you.
Thank you, Gilberto. No, not really. Certainly, if you look at the numbers, it looks like a higher impact in the quarter, but it came because we completed the structure of the corporate and commercial areas by the fourth quarter, and also we have all these expenses in developing the LTL business, most in the fourth quarter when it was fully in operations, and also this reserve for doubtful accounts.
But regarding fuel specifically, there was a 29% increase on a sequential basis, which was a much larger figure than the growth in kilometers. Is there any specific reason for that?
No, it was just the normal growth of passenger in the cargo segment. You recall, the passenger was only 2 months in the last quarter of 2016, and also the growth that this segment had was like 30%. If you look at the kilometers that we move in the quarter, but there was a big growth in the passenger segment.
Okay. Thank you.
There are no further questions over the audio portion of the conference. I would now like to turn the conference back over to Avi Lichtenstein for closing remarks.
Thank you, Tim. Just to wrap up the call, you will be hearing from us as we start spreading good news and deliver good results. We are the consolidator, and we have the first mover advantage. Remember that our sector plays a fundamental role in Mexico's economy, and we are here to seize the opportunities as a benchmark. Thank you all for your confidence and trust. Have an excellent weekend.